Next on BYU Sports Nation, 2 days away from number 22 BYU and Baylor, we'll discuss which stats and storylines actually matter heading into this game. BYU wide receiver Chase Roberts helps preview Saturday's game as well. What he expects to see from Baylor's defense specifically and why he is so confident in the BYU offense.
It's the Big 12 opener tonight for women's volleyball. Sophomore standout Claire Little previews the matchup with Colorado. And we'll get to know Baylor just a little bit better in our favorite segment, Know the Foe.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, September 26th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who can appreciate what a one-man band does as a sports reporter, Jerem Jordan.
I never did the one-man band thing as much as you did as a local reporter in Grand Junction, Colorado, and Palm Springs, California. But there were times where, I like Jimmer's junior year, I flew out by myself and covered the NCAA tournament or whatever. There have been times. Scott Drew, Baylor's men's basketball coach yesterday, I guess they had a media availability. He was seen holding three microphones from local news stations, which is awesome.
This is great support.
When you're in that situation, it's hard to shoot and hold the microphone. But it's funny because they're like in the room. Here's some video from Awful Announcing. They're in the room where he was doing the press conference. What? Did they already have him sit down? Why can't we just have him sit down? Then he doesn't have to hold any. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Can we just get him some mic stands? Let's put a few mic stands in front of him. All good.
So when BYU holds its football media availability, they have a Brandon Despain runs it. You can like slide in your microphone there if you want. Like to this thing that just holds it.
Yes.
And then it's great.
It's well thought out.
But Scott Drew is a nice guy. We've met him. Looking forward to Big 12 basketball media days coming up next month, by the way. Which will be a ton of fun. We'll be there.
It certainly beats holding a full-size camera on your shoulder and then staring through the eyepiece to frame up your subject that you're interviewing, holding the microphone with your left hand, and then saying to the subject, hey, just look at my left eye when you talk.
Yeah.
Because there's something called the rule of thirds, and you want him to look across the screen.
Yes.
It was ridiculous. But we made it work.
Yes. Fun fact. So during Beck to Arlene, you and I are standing on the sideline. We're watching this game. And, I felt like I was a decent shooter. But my lowest moment as a shooter was as John Beck throws the ball to Johnny Harleen, I just lower the lens and just watch. and then I was like, oh, no, I missed it. I had to borrow the shot from Jordan Feinauer. But it was a great moment.
Your actual eyes needed to witness that moment.
Yes. Mine eyes have seen the glory.
It was better experienced with the camera down and your eyes on the actual
play. Shot the whole game. I missed the game winning.
But guess what? Yeah. 17,000 other cameras caught the play.
Yeah.
So you're good.
It's okay. It was a fun moment.
Oh, great stuff. Yeah. Scott Drew, well done. But let's get some mic stands. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Go as a team from kicking off at 8:30 to an 11 a.m. kickoff Central Time.
As far as the kickoff time, that won't be a big issue.
Kalani's aware of the streak.
Get up and be ready to get prepared for that game.
We have really good football right now, boys.
Believe it or not, we are roughly 48 hours away from kickoff.
Yes, we are.
Between BYU and Baylor because...
Let's get you to Waco.
Frankly, I think we're 2 minutes away from exactly 48 hours.
It's a 10:05.
It's a 10:05.
11:05 Central.
Yes.
Yeah. On FS1 and BYU Radio.
We are that much closer before BYU, as the number 22 team in the country, hits Waco, Texas, to take on the Baylor Bears, who are a consensus 3 to 3.5 point favorite, depending on where you look. There are a number of interesting stats and storylines, including the day game and BYU being an underdog, that are surrounding this game. Today, we're going to present some of our favorite big storylines heading in and ask the question, does this really matter? So let's start with this. The kick time has garnered a lot of attention, Jerem. BYU has lost 10 consecutive day games against FBS teams dating back to the Independence Bowl against UAB in 2021. 10 straight day game losses.
Don't like that.
Against FBS foes. There's also a Liberty in that run. Earlier this week on Coordinator's Corner, BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill spoke about BYU's perceived struggles in day games.
I think sometimes media might put too much into that stuff. It's the reality of getting your guys ready to play. I think people put too much merit into stuff like that. We got to have our guys ready to go. Our players need to be ready to go. The coaches got to be ready to go. It doesn't matter when we kick off.
All right, Jerem, does BYU...
If it doesn't matter, why is it 0-10, the last 10?
Does BYU losing 10 consecutive day games against FBS foes really matter when it comes to the BYU-Baylor matchup?
I love Jay Hill. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one. I think it does matter. Does this matter? Yes, it does. Cougar Stats made an argument yesterday that I'll summarize in the following. Basically, hey, the day games were against tougher teams, just so you know.
And they That's said, a fair point.
Yeah, 7 of the 15 road neutral games since 2020 were against teams who finished ranked. That's really hard, okay? Only one of the 16 home night games had a team that finished ranked. So
that finished ranked.
That finished ranked. Because at the time, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. Finishing ranked, you beat that team, that's a big deal. We want Kansas State to have a great season so that that win looks really good at the end as well as in the moment. But I say this is a big deal. If you tell me BYU loses 10 games in a row in some context that isn't too complicated, that's a big deal no matter what it is to me. So I say yes. I think BYU needs to figure this out. Obviously, playing tougher teams is tougher. Duh. But during the day, in this situation, and this isn't a day game. This is a morning game.
Yes.
Like when I hear day, I'm thinking like 1 p.m., 4 p.m. start or whatever. This is a day game. Like, this is another level of early. What I don't want is 2015, was
Michigan?
It Michigan and UCLA? UCLA was a game where BYU went down in, 2015 as well. Was a ranked team and lost on the road. And was, I think, we're also a dog, if I recall. The fact that Baylor's a 3.5-point dog, which we'll get to as well, is very interesting in this. And you throw in the day game thing, which I think is like 88% of why BYU is a dog. Also, Baylor's played well at home. We'll get into that. This is a big deal, Spence, to me. Because this is a game that we need BYU to win if they're going to like continue on this path. If you lose, you take a step backwards where you have a lot of momentum right now nationally.
I know that correlation doesn't always mean causation. But when you look at how poorly BYU has played in the individual day games, my biggest concern is not that BYU has lost 10 straight road games and the majority of those teams have been really good teams, but it's how BYU has played in those specific games. They are being blown out over the course of this 10-game day game losing streak.
Talk to me.
38 points per game given up to their opponents. I know they're better teams, but BYU is averaging 19.9 points in that stretch. Was TCU good last year? They were 5-7.
No, BYU wasn't good either.
BYU scored 11 points in that game. Not
TCU
good.
TCU scored 44.
I know that Josh Hoover had like the day of his life in his first start as TCU's quarterback. 44-11?
Don't give him the day of his life.
44-11? How do you explain what happened at Liberty? BYU scored 14 points against Liberty in a day game. What happened? It's how they have played.
Yeah.
So something has to change. Mental shift, schedule shift, and it's all happening right now. I know that they say that the media is making too much of a deal out of it, but the coaches are aware, and they are looking at anything and everything that will get their body clock started earlier. They're lifting earlier. They've been waking up early all week to try and get into a different mode. They need to exercise the demons here.
Yeah, and it feels like this team is better equipped to handle this than maybe the previous couple of teams. But we went back to 2020 on this. This includes 21 that went 10-3. That was a very good team. Like, it's hard for even the best teams. It's difficult. So,
I know Oregon was good that year. BYU got blown out by Oregon.
Yes.
Notre Dame was not a world beater. BYU in 2022 on a neutral site didn't.
Jaren Hall was hurt. That was tough. Yeah.
So injuries factor into that as well a little bit. But I mean, when you give me UAB and Liberty and then TCU.
Yeah. To your point, it's a good one. Cougar Stats saying, well, they were better. Well, what about the not good teams in that stretch? Where are the wins? Why isn't it 2-8? Why isn't it 3-7? Why isn't it 4-6 then?
Even 1-9.
It's 0-10, and so I go, woo, woo. There's something there. Like, there's something there. And even if BYU wins this game, Spence, it's 1-10 in the last 11. Like, you need to continue to show, okay, it's not a – we're going to show you it's not a big deal by winning the
win
game.
Win the game, and
we're
it's
gonna
done.
We're going to show you it's not
the
a big deal.
Conversation is muted for the moment.
Yes.
Like, it's done.
Yes.
For what it's worth, BYU had moments in their most recent two afternoon games against Oklahoma, that was a morning game.
Yes.
BYU looked really good. You take away a 100-yard pick six, BYU probably wins that game. BYU led Oklahoma State 24-6 at halftime. Lost that game in overtime.
Yes.
So there were moments. They're capable.
Right, but that's a moral victory thing. We're talking about wins.
Actual victories.
Not like we competed well. No, no, no. Win.
Actual.
Win.
Actual victories. No more of this average 38-20.
Yes. You go.
Thank you, Ben Bagley.
Next one.
Let's have an actual victory.
Deep cut.
Exercise right the demons, boys.
Okay. BYU's 2-2 all time against Baylor. Hasn't won in Waco. 2021, 1983. Those are some of BYU's best teams all time, by the way. Does this matter that BYU hasn't won in Waco in two trips?
This doesn't matter as much as when this game is happening. No, there's no direct correlation to BYU's 2021 squad and the 83 squad losing this game. I don't think this is so much about Waco or McLean Stadium. It's a nice stadium. It's not a super hostile environment. It's a fun stadium. It's got a good atmosphere.
Good peeps.
Yes. This is nothing to what BYU's opponents face when they come to Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Yep.
BYU will have a nice contingent of fans. There will be 8,000 to 10,000 BYU fans there. Baylor is not great right now. They're getting better. They do some things well. But this is a golden opportunity for BYU to catch Baylor when
golden
they
green.
Yes, when they are a middle-of-the-pack Big 12 team.
Yeah.
Opportunity knocks for BYU to finally win in Waco, to finally win the day game, and then we just shove that conversation to the side. And now you've won three road games. So it does matter that it's a road game. It's always more difficult to play away from home. But to me, there's no correlation to the previous two losses in Waco. Totally different squads this time around.
Yeah, the day game thing is different because it's literally the players from the last couple of years.
Yes.
It's different when it's like in 1983. In 2021, like how many dudes are even on the team that
not many.
Play a lot, right? So I say no, this doesn't matter.
Connor Pay, was he the only one that was on the team?
There were probably a handful that played, but not a
starter-wise anyway?
Yeah, a ton, yeah. Yeah, no, doesn't matter to me.
All right.
Go and win in Waco, because guess what? You're going to have to. It's a Big 12 opponent. You're going to play there more often.
Number 22 BYU, 3.5-point underdog against the Bears this Saturday. And I know that they're coming off a win over then 13th-ranked Kansas State by 29.
I heard that.
But clearly, people, including odds makers in the desert, don't like BYU in day games and in a road scenario and coming off of a big win.
Yes.
Does BYU as a 3.5-point underdog really matter?
It does cause an alarm for me. I do think BYU is going to win the game, but it does, like, my kind of ears perk up and go, wait, what? Why? And it concerns me because there have been times where BYU has gone into this situation and lost when we thought, wait, why are they a dog in this situation? BYU has not just the Kansas State game, though, for proof of its goodness. They have the SMU game, too. If it was just Kansas State, we could write it off as a sort of anomaly, the high. It's not going to get better than this. Frankly, it might not. That was amazing. But the SMU game tells me that BYU has a very good defense. If it's just one game, I go, that was awesome, but give me a little more, and then I can start to see proof in the pudding. We have a couple samples here. We've walked around Costco a little bit.
Well, I believe that, what the defense is telling me.
The cart's getting heavy.
Yeah.
It's two P4 opponents with no touchdowns. That tells me BYU's got a defense that can win the game at Baylor. Now, can the offense score enough? Can the offense take care of the ball? Can special teams give you something? Because they have the last 2 weeks in an amazing way. So I am concerned, but I am not overly sort of like, this means Baylor's going to win. I think BYU's going to win the game, but it does have my kind of radar up.
I think this matters, but I actually like it for BYU.
Love it. I don't like it. I love it.
Yes. I think, in fact, I know, and you'll hear from Chase Roberts because I asked him about this very thing, that the majority of the team is very well aware of the line.
Good.
And they enjoy that they are still an underdog.
Good.
After beating Kansas State. This adds more fuel to the fire. Any other cliche you want to throw
and
in there?
And I took that personally.
They are taking it personally that people and people that set the context of these games.
Are the odds makers people?
Are not. I don't know. It was a good question. They don't buy into BYU. Like, they're not buying, clearly, literally not buying BYU right now as a team that's going to go on the road and win this game.
ESPN FPI has 52% win chance. That's way up from what
so,
it was.
So flip a coin.
And then NCAA Insiders says 81%.
BYU wins.
Yeah.
So NCAA Insiders loves BYU.
They do, yeah. CFB graphs. I love what they do. They do all kind of the next level metrics. I love it. 81% chance. Yeah. 29 to 18.
See, I feel like ESPN's FPI is more in line with where I am thinking. If you played this game 10 times in Waco, I actually give a little bit of an edge to BYU because of the defense. I think the Cougars win the game 6 out of 10 times.
That'd be a lame BYU football season. 10 matchups with Baylor. Give me road G5s over that.
It matters because they're bothered. The team is bothered that they're still an underdog.
I want a bothered BYU team.
Yes.
I do.
Agitated.
At 4-0 at number 22. You still don't believe?
No,
that's what I want.
They're agitated.
I want just antsy, hangry BYU. Yes. Okay. BYU seeking its first Big 12 road win ever. Ever. Cougars 0-5 last year in Big 12 road games. Aaron Roderick talked about getting over the hump yesterday after practice.
Well, we haven't won a Big 12 road game yet, and so that's the challenge. This is where, you know, nobody feels like we've arrived by any means, and we need to go get our first Big 12 road win.
Mm. Does being winless on the road in the history of BYU in the Big 12?
Actual victory.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for. 0-5 last year. Does that really matter?
Yes, because it's something that BYU hasn't done again, and that clearly is on the radar of Aaron Roderick and the staff. Mm-hmm. They have not won a Big 12 road game. Can BYU just win this game and check all of the boxes?
Day game, check. We want a road game,
check. One in Waco, check.
Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
Just check them all off.
Yeah.
One game. You can do all of it, and it's done.
Yes.
Yeah.
I smell a graphic on Monday.
Check the boxes.
Check.
Do them all. That's why it matters, because they're aware of it. Throw another one on there. Never won in Waco. Never won a Big 12 road game. Can't win day games. Lost 10 straight. Just check them all off.
Check them all off.
One game. You win one game, it's done. Let's go.
I would add 2-0 start to Big 12 play. Because didn't have that last year either. 2-0 start in Big 12 play. Boom.
This pushes us forward to a bigger conversation that we will have tomorrow when we dive into what really happens if BYU wins this game or loses this game.
Yes.
This is another monumental swing game.
Huge game.
For BYU.
And it's fun because every game truly matters. It does. And we're still getting used to being in a league, right? Like, this game is massive. You win this game and go into a bye week, the rumblings start happening about what could happen this year. You still got to win a lot of games. Don't get me wrong. We're not even halfway through. Even if we were three-quarters of the way through. We've seen in 2001 and 1990, you can have an amazing year, but if you flame out at the end, you're not remembered in the same breath as some of the all-time teams. But
you're a win away from being 5-0 and equaling as many Big 12 wins you had the entirety of last season. You're 2-0 in Big 12 play. You're 2-7 last year.
And total wins.
And you've equaled your win total from last season. You win this game. Check that out, too. So add that. You've equaled how many games you won last year as well. And you've
it's a great list.
You have also equaled the amount of Big 12 games you won. Check. Like, all these boxes. You win one game, check them off.
Massive game.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Of note, Baylor 2-2 this season.
Yeah.
Both wins coming on their home field against Tarleton State and Air Force.
The Texans of Tarleton State.
Yes, Tarleton State Texans.
We learned that. They're Texans.
The Baylor defense has yet to allow a touchdown at home this year. Does this really matter?
Okay, it looks pretty good. Like, when you talk about, BYU's no touchdowns against P4s, that sounds good. Those are not the same. The quality of opponent. But Dave Aranda, who's the only FBS head coach who's calling a defense this year, which is amazing, he's got the boys playing well, specifically in Waco. Now, that's not the strongest competition. I do respect Air Force. The fact that you hold Air Force out of the end zone is pretty notable. Air Force turned the ball over a bunch. So did Baylor in that game. So hold on to the ball. You're going to score some touchdowns.
Yes.
BYU's going to need, three touchdowns probably to win this game.
Yes.
So you're going to have to not just score a touchdown. You're going to have to score probably 3+. So, but it does have my attention of like, okay, that's pretty good. What else are you supposed to do against those opponents? You kept them out of the end zone.
It's good.
3 points in each game, I believe. Right?
You take on the opponents that are in front of you, and even if they're not great teams, You got to dominate them, and Baylor's defense has dominated those two opposing offenses. So, yeah, there's a little bit there, but I don't know that it matters a ton because they have surrendered some yards and touchdowns to Utah and Colorado, the two Power 5 teams they've played.
Which I expect against those opponents. Like, Colorado's passing offense is fantastic. And yes, you are a crappy Hail Mary defense away. Victory Cigar was the name of that defense, by the way. away from beating Colorado, being 3-1, and maybe the perception is different about the program.
Mm. Yeah, Baylor is, seriously, they're that close to being 3-1 and having a road Big 12 win. Like, they're a good team. They're getting better. I think that they are better than they have been at any point this season. They have improved.
They looked better last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they looked the best they have all year last week, even though they lost.
I've seen their last two games, and I thought they played way better as well. Like, BYU's got to play a good game to win. They can't just show up. No, of course not.
Okay.
In the Big 12, there's no opponent. You just show up.
Check the boxes. Ching, 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 ching. Like, money. Get it in there, man. Check all the boxes. Win the game.
Let's do it.
Let's go. Yes. Let's go, man.
Let's do it.
Our poll question of the day. Do you believe BYU football plays better in night games compared to day games? Are you buying into this?
Jay Hill weighs it. No, just kidding.
87% of the poll says yes. People are huge on the night Cougs and not so much on the day Cougs.
There's a lot of evidence here. I'm sorry.
Cougar stats and the BYU coaching staff represent all 13% of the no vote.
All good. If you don't think that, that's fine. It's okay. Just go and win this game then.
I say that in jest. There are great points that are brought up by the coaches and by Cougar stats. It's clearly BYU's opponents have been way better in the day over the course of this run.
It's harder to win
than the night
for sure.
Opponents. However, BYU has been blown out in these day games. They can be better than
that. It won't be good enough to just compete, by the way. We'll say, 0-11.
Like, win the game.
Hey,
get rid of it.
BYU-Baylor pregame coverage coming up bright and early, 10 a.m. Eastern time. We don't throw a.m. on there too often, right? For Cougar Pregame Live, BYU Sports Nation Game Day, BYU TV, and BYU Radio. The game's on FS1 and BYU Radio. And tomorrow, Spence will be live from Waco.
Yes, indeed. Right outside McLean Stadium. Maybe inside McLean Stadium. Ooh. Up next, we go one-on-one with star receiver Chase Roberts. What he expects to see from Baylor's defense in Waco this Saturday. How does he feel about being an underdog specifically? This is BYUSN.
You don't want to be live from the river?
You know, we're going to take some shots, and that means getting the ball in the air more.
Nice catch made by Chase Roberts. Makes a spectacular catch. What a play, Chase Roberts. Fire for the end zone. Roberts there. Touchdown.
Chase Roberts having a season for BYU right now. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. We show you Chase on the case once again because I had an opportunity to go one-on-one with him after practice yesterday to discuss BYU as an underdog in Waco, the day game scenario, and what he expects Baylor's defense to try and do against him and the Cougars' offense. This is Chase Roberts one-on-one.
Chase, this has been, understandably, a week full of hype and excitement off of one of the more memorable BYU victories in recent memory, taking down Kansas State. How have you traversed the emotions of that high on Saturday night, because you have to turn right around and get ready for a tough early in the day challenge at Baylor?
That's right. Coach told us to obviously celebrate it, have some fun, and enjoy the moment, the big win, and just everything was just so exciting. So enjoy that. But once Monday hit, or I guess Sunday, you know, go to church, focus on the next game. And then Monday came, and we're back at it with Baylor. And we have a great game plan, and we're focused on winning this game. And this one's, I think, even more important to keep making a statement showing that we are a top-tier team.
Only one more question about last Saturday, and then we'll all push the focus to Baylor, even in this interview. But what was your favorite moment from that entire experience on Saturday night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium?
It's hard to pick one specific moment. I think the whole crowd, the energy of the fans was absolutely amazing, and there was nothing better than that. You know, having them as loud as they were, as engaged as they were, that's what really won us, you know, the game, I think. just how amazing they were and how we were able to, once we made that fumble recovery, the momentum was ours the whole time. And the crowd just kept us rolling. So shout out Cougar Nation.
Chase Roberts with us on BYU Sports Nation. You push your attention to Baylor, and now it's about creating that energy on the road early in the day. This is the polar opposite. Mm-hmm. So you get the 10:30 Eastern kick against Kansas State. Now you have a noon Eastern start in Waco, Texas. What's been the biggest difference in your preparation this week as you prepare for essentially a morning game?
Yeah, we've been obviously dialing into the little things as a team, and we're very disciplined, I think, this year. So our sports scientists have developed a plan to wake up earlier and to get up and get going. We just lifted this morning at 7. So we're going to be ready, you know, no matter if it's 10 a.m., 8 a.m., game time. Like, we're prepared. We have the guys needed to, I guess, the science behind it, you know what I mean? And then our guys are going to be dialed in and disciplined, ready to go. So we've changed up our schedule a little bit. And, you know, whatever we're thrown with, you know, whatever comes at us, we're going to go play our best. We're going to go dominate. So
what's the key to generating energy on the road in the early part of the day? Because there is a natural energy that comes under the lights of a football stadium. So how do you do that in a day scenario?
I think it's trusting the guys around you and looking back on our preparation and coming out with that energy no matter what the circumstance is, and loving each other, playing for each other. I think as we've prepared this week with the sleep schedule, I think we're going to have the energy to go and trust each other that no matter what, we're going to be able to play 10 a.m. whenever. So we're just excited to go out there and play and do our thing.
Ranked number 22 back in the AP Top 25 for the first time in almost 2 years. 4-0, all good marks. Yet BYU is right now 3 to 3.5 point underdog.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that juxtaposition of being the ranked team but being, again, an underdog?
That's awesome. I mean, we love it. We love being the underdog. And I think it gives us just that fire, that more just desire to go out and show that we really are a great team, and we deserve that top 25 spot. And, you know, we should be jumping up every week because of how we play and how we beat teams with class and with just dominance, physicality. And we're going to go show that come Saturday morning.
What has changed in the physicality approach? Because there is a noticeable difference. Your coaches know it. They've talked about it. You've talked about it. What has allowed BYU to take football to another physicality level?
Yeah, our off-season training was the key to that. I think we got a lot stronger, and we dialed in the weight room. We gave everything we got, and then come gameplay. And I think the scouts also give us awesome looks to where come game time, it's almost easier to go against these teams. So our lifting, you know, compiled with a scout team has made game days such a breeze, and we can just play with physicality and confidence. So
let's assess the offense overall through 4 games. What is your BYU offense collectively doing best through the first 4 wins of the season?
I think we're getting better. I think that's the biggest thing, is we're coming together during practices, and we're learning, and we're getting together and growing. And every game we're looking better and better. So I think that's the biggest thing about our offense right now, is we're only going to be better this game. And you're going to see that every game that comes, we're going to be playing better, scoring more, running the ball better. I mean, you see the numbers as they go up with our rush yards per attempt, our pass yards per attempt, explosive plays that we make. I think that's what sets us apart, is not only getting better, but our explosive plays that we make. Defenses can't plan for that. Jake and his arm, and then the way we go and attack the ball. So
what is the key to creating more explosive plays? That is the operative phrase that you bring up there. I know you want more of those. So what's the secret to doing that and executing that?
I think the confidence in each other. I think Jake with the receivers, knowing that, yeah, we may be covered, but let's give him a shot and see what we can do. And I think it's come with a lot of explosive plays, as well as Jake is so mobile, everything opens up and he's able to scramble and run. He's able to throw the deep ball, and he's also able to make the check down for a big play as well. So we have all these layers on our offense that is really hard to plan for and guard.
I feel like an underrated element of the offense, and a huge difference from last year to this year, is Jake's ability to run the ball and force defenses to respect that he can do that. Exactly. Now, maybe you can add some insight into that, but what does that do for a team in opening up an offense when you have a quarterback that right now is leading the team in rushing?
Yeah, exactly. You tend to focus on that, and I think it opens up everything else, as well as the plays that we've made downfield and with our running backs. It's just hard to plan for, like I said, and you never know what's going to come, I guess, and you can't stop every aspect. You got to put guys deep if you're scared about the deep ball, and then that allows, you know, the under to be open and vice versa. So it's just hard to plan for, and Jake's been a great job at exploiting all the team's weaknesses.
Chase Roberts is with us on BYU Sports Nation. What do you know about Baylor's base defense and what they're going to try and do to defend against this BYU offense?
Yeah, they play mostly cover four and a little bit of man. Last time we played them, we thought the same thing, but they actually went cover two the whole time. So you never know, you know, what they're going to bring. But right now we're thinking cover four and just attacking them on the outside. They play more man-to-man, I guess, on the outside. So taking our shots and just running our offense. I think it's going to be a great battle. They have a great defense, a great secondary, some big guys up front. So as long as we're more physical and run our plays with confidence, then we should take it to them. So.
Dave Aranda is a defensive-minded football coach, yeah, and he likes to throw in some wrinkles. Yeah. How do you feel about the prospect of what if they do throw a wrinkle in at the last moment again this time around?
Yeah, no, we're always ready for that. And I think every game, A-Rod has a plan for if they do this thing. And he is great with that. So we're confident no matter what, if they do stick to their cover four defense, or if they change it up and go cover two or cover three, whatever, we're gonna be ready, and we're going to have some plays dialed up for that.
What's your message to Cougar Nation as we close out this interview?
We love you. Go Cougs. Thanks for showing up in Kansas, and we'll see you in Texas this weekend. So go Cougs.
Thanks, Chase.
Awesome. Thank you.
Chase is on the case, Spence. Let's go. Coming up tonight, women's soccer hosts Oklahoma State. Big 12 conference game. Cougars, nice start. 2-1 in league. Cowboy girls started 8-0-1, then lost the last two games in league play. 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
Up next, which running backs will be healthy and available to play this Saturday for BYU? Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick has an update. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's have some fun with history, shall we, as we continue to celebrate the 100th season of BYU football. We're looking back on some of the best wins, moments, and plays on this date in Cougar football history. So let's rewind on September 26th to what year?
1987, BYU at New Mexico. Bob Jensen.
Oh!
Let's go. 3-yard rushing touchdown. Second quarter got a second touchdown, this time from 40 yards. Michael Bryan also had a rushing touchdown. BYU up 24-7 at halftime.
Bob Jensen connecting with Darren Handley for a 7-yard touchdown later as well. Then Kirk Davis. Some defense, 30-yard pick six. Jensen would follow that to Travis McBeth on a 50-yard touchdown.
I doth protest.
Jensen finished the day, 365 yards passing, 2 touchdowns.
Get off of me.
89 rush yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. BYU blowing out the Lobos in Albuquerque, 45-25.
Why don't we talk about that total offense from Bob Jensen ever? Today's the first day we've ever brought up that game.
Bob Jensen.
That's an amazing game. I had no clue about this game. This is great. Bob Jensen. Let's go.
Great stuff. Let's get to today's headlines.
Number 22, BYU football, just 2 days out from playing at Baylor Saturday morning. No one thinks it's a big deal that it's a day game, including us. Yesterday, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick spoke to the media about what he expects from the Baylor defense.
Very physical, fast team. We've played them twice in the last 3 years, and they are super athletic and long. And Coach Aranda is a great defensive coach. Coach Powledge is a great defensive coach. We've coached against him at Baylor and Oregon. So we know these guys are squared away and very athletic.
Yes, they are. Aaron Roderick also confirmed that running back Hinkley Ropati will play against Baylor after missing a couple of games, and that a decision will be made today regarding Sione Moa's status. Sione Moa, the running back, not the linebacker.
BYU's had 6 different running backs take at least one carry in the season.
Only Jovessa Demoni is like, your boy is redshirting.
Hey, build that depth. Number 17, BYU Women's Volleyball opens Big 12 play tonight against Colorado at the historic Smithfield House. The Cougars enter tonight's game, winners of three straight matches, trying to make it four. You can watch 9 Eastern, ESPN Plus. Jerem Jordan on the call.
Can't wait, man. Women's soccer looking to build off of Monday's win over that team up north. Tonight against Oklahoma State at Southfield, BYU beat Oklahoma State 3-0 in last year's meeting. You can watch tonight's game, 9 Eastern, on ESPN Plus.
The Big 12 Conference has released the women's basketball schedules for the 2024-25 season earlier this morning. Notably, BYU will open Big 12 play hosting Arizona on December 21st. The Cougars will host Utah on January 25th. So fun that that's a conference scenario again.
Yes.
They will end the season, the regular season of note, on March 1st, playing at Utah. The men's schedule will be released later today.
Very exciting. Congrats to women's golf. It took third place at the Red Raider Invitational yesterday in Lubbock, Texas, led by MJ Berrigan, who finished tied for second at 6 under par.
Good luck to the BYU men's tennis doubles team of Wally Thane and Zach Fuchs, who began play at the ITA All-American Championships yesterday in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Big news out of the MPSF and men's volleyball is longtime UCLA head coach John Sparrow stepping down to take over as president and CEO of USA Volleyball. He coached UCLA to 2 national championships back-to-back the last 2 years, 3 at UC Irvine, and of course a bronze in 2 of the last 3 Olympics as the men's indoor coach. Best of luck to John. Pretty surprised. Perhaps it opens the door for BYU to win the MPSF this year.
That's why we're talking about it. Opens the door for BYU.
Love John, by the way.
And Olympic bronze medalist in rugby, former BYU women's basketball player Stephanie Rivetti announces her retirement from rugby as of yesterday. So fun that she goes out as an Olympic medalist.
How about one of those BYU athletes who played a sport then did a different sport in the Olympics?
Incredible.
Joining Shauna Robach.
Yep.
In the
Meddling.
Medal at a different sport than you played at BYU. Pretty cool.
Coming up, sophomore standout Claire Little. She deserves a gold medal for her performance recently in her own right. She previews women's volleyball in the Big 12 opener tonight against Colorado. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Back over on BYU side. High for Little. Claire Little with 16 kills.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton.
I'm a fan of players who make our jobs easier.
Yes.
And our next guest is one of those.
Yes. I would say that there's very little about... I won't even finish the joke. It's so bad.
It's so bad.
Claire, welcome to BYU Claire? Sports
Thank
Nation.
You guys. Good
to
see you. Having me.
First time in studio.
It is.
Great to have you. You got the varsity Letterman jacket going on. Looking good.
Had to show up.
On a game day, no less. Let's go.
It's game day.
Been a fun season. Ups and downs. Ton of 5-set matches.
So many.
But you figured some things out, took care of business in-state, now into Big 12 play. How is the team feeling as you open up Big 12 play overall and just the mentality in the locker room right now?
We're just excited. We're excited to get a new opportunity to get better every day. I think something we've been talking a lot about is just 1% better. So I think with that, 1% better of just practice, but it's also games. Like, we get to come and show our skills. We've been working really hard, and I'm excited to show them.
Last week was really good. You beat 3 in-state foes, Utah State and Weber State on the road and Utah Valley. The week before, and the game before, 3 straight matches that went to 5, and then 17-15, 16-14. 3 straight losses by 2.
Yeah.
You're like 6 points away from being undefeated.
Yeah.
How'd you guys kind of handle that and get over that to have a great week last week?
Yeah, so we just came into the next week just like with this fuel. Like, we wanted to win so bad. And so I think it definitely fueled us for those games. But, I mean, those tough losses they're hard, but they're, like, some of the best learning opportunities. And I think that's how our team took it. And we just bounced back, and we came up on top.
You could have stayed down.
Yeah.
But you chose to learn from that. And, by the way, 2 of those 3 opponents are top 15 teams. You guys are number 17. You're super young. How are you coming along and learning as a group as you try and get way better because now you're in conference play?
Well, what I love about our preseason is, like, I think that's exactly what our team needed. And so I think we've talked a lot about that. But I feel personally like this team has had similar experiences to a veteran team. Like, we've had the adversity, we've had the challenge, we've had the experience all in this preseason. And so we're ready for conference play. Just like we've grown so much and we're only going to continue to grow. And that's the exciting thing about this this new team, this new energy. Like we got competitors on this team. And so I'm pumped to see how it all comes out.
What is BYU women's volleyball doing best right now? Schematically speaking, skill set speaking.
I think our hitters are coming out and just hitting high with range. I think that's something we've talked a lot about. Like we're playing some pretty big teams and like it's only going to get harder and harder. Blocks are going to get bigger. Speed's going to increase. And I think we've just come out with that intensity of like any sort of situation, just bettering it, just making it better and just going after it. And that's what I love about this team is we have so much fight. There's so much like, let's just go after it and swing high and hard. And also our blocking. I think our blocking has come a long way. I think we're a big team, and so utilizing that to our strength is super important.
Okay, let's address two things you just said there. One, out of system swing. So to the viewer, if you don't know. So on that, when it's served, and if that passes up to the setter, you're in system, meaning yep. You can run whatever you want. You can push to Claire over there, Blakely over there, Brielle right here, back row to somebody else. If you're not, it's kind of predictable. You're probably pushing it over to Claire on the left side. Out of system. You guys are awesome. Heather Olmstead told us yesterday, getting ready for the match tonight, that's been an upgrade from last year. We are better out of system. And your swing specifically is really high and hard. How hard is it to be good out of system? Because you guys are good.
You know, it's actually, it's a challenge, but I think that's why I enjoy it so much is it's this really cool challenge that you have an opportunity. You have usually three blockers up, two blockers up, because like you said, it's super predictable. Like there's usually two places it's going to go, and usually it's one. It's usually going to the outside in some capacity. And so I think just like what we love to do this year is just having that fearless attitude is what we've talked a lot about on this team. It's just being so fearless, and being fearless is hitting out of system, taking a big rip and just going for it. And out of system's kind of fun. You have a lot of range. Like you have a lot of court vision. And so I enjoy it. I think it's great. I think it has been a huge improvement for us.
Okay, the second thing is blocking, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Brielle Kemvor had one of the greatest games we've ever seen. In three sets, she had a double-double with 10 blocks. Like, the whole team's playing well. But specifically, I've not seen that. A middle blocker get a double-double in three sets. That was crazy.
No, Brielle has just continued to shock everyone. Not shock, but she's always been great. Just every game, she's just one of those players that is grinding, and she is showing. Every game, she's getting better, and I'm so excited because there's so many times where I'm just like, do your thing, Brielle. Let's go. And I'm just like, my favorite reactions are to her blocks because they're just so insane. But that's what I have to hit against in practice. And so because she's doing that, she's making all of us better. Yep. So that's the coolest part is like you guys get to see the game part, but we get to be better because of her in practice.
6'5" and imposing.
Oh, yeah. I'll say. Yeah, my awesome. Goodness. Claire Little of BYU Women's Volleyball is on BYU Sports Nation. You know what? I'm just going to finish the joke. There's little to complain about.
Okay. Yeah.
Come on.
That was new.
It's dad joke. I need to embrace this, right?
What's the worst pun you've heard with your last name?
Okay, it's not the worst, but it's the most common. It's Claire Little, not so little.
Uh-huh. Because you're like 6'3", 6'2". Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's the one I hear the most.
Yeah.
Okay, Claire.
I'm not going to use that one on ESPN.
How does playing in front of the Smithfield House crowd compare to what you first envisioned it would be like?
That's a hard question. You can't predict or envision that, like, until you're in it. Like, as soon as you feel it, you know what it feels like, and you don't ever want to leave. Like, traveling for us it's a challenge because we're so used to that energy, and I think we feed off of it, but fortunately for us, our team embodies that on the court. I mean, we take Cougar Nation anywhere we go, so I think it's so sick.
8 of the first 12 matches this year will be at home. You guys have really had a nice run here at home, 6-1 so far, 7-3, and here we are. By the way, I just got a tiny taste of the intoxication of the Smithfield House. I think it was last year a ball came over to me, and I said it in the air, and the rock went crazy. And I was like, is that what it feels like? To just do like something
you
good?
Do anything.
It was amazing. I was like, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Imagine a block in a critical moment.
I can't jump that high. Get out of here. We can't afford the fun pack Napoleon.
That's why I say imagine. Okay. Yeah. Imagine.
I can't even imagine. It's crazy. Okay, Colorado tonight. Texas Tech coming in Saturday. What's the key tonight against the Buffaloes to start Big 12 play with a win?
I think it's another great team, and I think they're going to come out similar to how San Diego or Oregon came out. I mean, people want to play us, and they're not scared. And so I think we've been prepared for that, and I'm really excited to just go out and play another high-level team and just let our skills come out, because I'm excited for everyone to see what BYU's got.
One of my favorite things are the celebrations of each of the individual players after big plays. So what's Claire Little's unique celebration?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I have so many, but it's actually funny because a lot of my friends will make fun of me. I have this one specific one where I like to like cross over and just like scream my heart out. And so like it's this new inside joke with all my friends that they'll just do it all the time.
Now we're inside.
Yeah, yeah, no, but one of my favorite ones is whenever Braille gets a block and I'm just like...
You like do a surrender
cobra.
I'm just like, ooh, because I've been on the other side of that. Yeah. I know
surrender cobra.
That's funny.
So yeah, that's probably my favorite one.
That's great awesome. Stuff. Okay, we're gonna give you some BYU Sports Nation karma to go and continue what you're doing. Yeah. To be awesome.
Have okay. a great match okay? tonight.
And let's it's not a little thing. Okay.
No one is
BYU
has I've avoided karma. The puns, Brett's on the air, which you can watch tonight.
You should continue
Eastern.
To avoid them.
BYU and Colorado, first matchup between the Buffaloes and the Cougars since 2001. Amy Gant, our analyst, actually played against the Buffaloes.
Awesome.
In 94 and 95. I'm hoping we can dig up some footage. Who knows? Tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN.
Can't wait to watch Claire and the Cougs go to work. Coming up, how much do we really know about Baylor? Like real stuff about
like
Baylor, not football
Farms
stuff, like real,
Pepper.
Real pop culture stuff. Okay. We play Know the Foe after this on BYUSN.
What's the name of the bear? I don't know.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
It's any card for the win right now at Mountain America Credit Union, which means it's time to score some cash. Up to $500. Simply use any Mountain America debit or credit card now until September 30th, 2024 to be entered into a weekly giveaway for up to $500. Visit macu.com/anycard for official rules or to apply for your Mountain America card. Loans on approved credit. Membership required based on eligibility. Offer can change or be withdrawn at any time.
Cougar fans, it's time to gear up for the 100th season of BYU football. Show your Cougar pride as we take on the Big 12 with a lineup that's bigger and better than ever. Commemorate the 100th season with our unique collection of apparel and accessories. Get your official Big 12 merch, game day tee, and the latest Nike Authentics, just like the BYU players and coaches wear. Shop the campus store, the stadium store, or online at BYUstore.com for the widest selection of BYU clothing and accessories. The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Cougar Nation, get ready to celebrate 100 years of BYU football glory. For the last century, BYU football has electrified our hearts and souls. Now you can relive it all with the new book, 100 Years of BYU Football. Historic moments, memorable victories, and legendary players. The book is packed with more than 400 photos and historical documents and stories from the coaches, players, and fans who built the Cougar legacy. 100 Years of BYU Football, available now at DeseretBook.com and in stores. Go Cougs!
How would you describe BYU Radio?
Inspiring.
Compelling.
Entertaining.
Educational.
Uplifting.
Unifying.
At BYU Radio, we bring together different ideas and beliefs and people from all walks of life with something to say. We strive to broaden your horizons and excite your imagination. In a culture focused on division, BYU Radio is focused on unification through information. Listen wherever you get your podcasts or download the BYU Radio app. BYU Radio. Together.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're going to play Know the Foe, Baylor edition, in just a moment, but we do need to update the question of the day and the poll here, Jeremy.
Okay.
Do you believe BYU football plays better in night games compared to day games? Still 87% of the vote saying yes, they play better at night than they do in the day. All right. Let's get to Know the Foe. Baylor, number one. Colton Potter, what do you have for us to try and stump us here in Studio B?
All right, our first question today. Baylor University is located in Waco, Texas, which is also home to Dr. Pepper. Which fact about Dr. Pepper is not true?
Oh, boy.
It is the oldest soft drink in America. The original name of the drink was Waco. Dr. Pepper was the first soft drink company to use 2-liter bottles, or the formula for Dr. Pepper is held in 2 separate bank vaults in Dallas.
So you're saying 3 of these 4 are true. So
this is for Jerem.
Okay, which one's not true? Only one of these is not true? Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to say D because it's only had it held in one bank vault. Okay. What do you think, Spence?
I believe it is C. It's the first soft drink to use 2-liter bottles. That is not true.
Correct.
Yes. Oh, nice. Have you been?
I have been to the Dr. Pepper Museum.
Okay. You should know. I have not been.
All right. Yeah. Next question. This is for you, Spencer.
Okay.
Dr. Pepper isn't the only sweet made in Waco. Which candy bar is made there?
Oh.
Kit Kat, Snickers, Twix, or whatchamacallit?
One of these is from Waco? How about that?
What?
Wow.
I love all of these candy bars too, especially the whatchamacallit.
That's a great name.
It is, because there's a bunch of random stuff. I'm going D, whatchamacallit.
That is incorrect.
Oh! What is it?
Wait, did they Twix. Snickers! Yeah, Snickers!
He said
yeah,
Twix!
Yeah. No, I said Twix.
Snickers is made in Waco?
Really? Wow.
They have all the good stuff.
If you get hangry, hook it up, dog.
Wow. Okay, next question.
Hey, I want a Snickers from Waco. Bring it Monday.
Okay, last question.
Venmo you.
Chip and Joanna Gaines are two of Baylor's most famous alumni, the stars of HGTV's Fixer Uppers. What style of jeans has Chip worn since their marriage in 2003? This is Wrangler's Cowboy Cut, Gap 1969 Standard Fit, Levi's 501 Original Fit, or Walmart brand?
Oh, my goodness.
Is it me or?
Yeah, Jeremy, you got this one.
It's Texas, so I want to say Wranglers. You know what I mean? But.
No, he wears comfortable jeans.
Hold on, I didn't
they're
answer.
A little loose, they're a little looser fit.
But I know it's not A. They're a little looser, you're saying? Mm-hmm. It's definitely not Walmart, right? I'll go to Levi's.
Oh. Nope, it's Gap's 1969 Standard Fit.
Correct.
Yeah! I'm kind of embarrassed that I like had a good idea about that.
That's great.
Oh, boy.
Hey, it was down to two choices. Let's go.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated going back to the day game in Waco. Does BYU play better at night than they do in day games? Shane 00 on X says yes, but I also think it's more common that BYU plays tougher games during prime daylight times, which is true.
Shane Reese got a burner, but are you Shane? That's interesting.
Today's Rising Shout Out is on by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Shout out to our homie Steve Vail. He was the true blue hero at BYU football practice yesterday. Incredible experience.
Oh.
It was amazing to see how much fun he and his family had there. BYU football does it right, man.
Man, amazing.
Love you, Steve.
Amazing to watch that.
Love you, Steve.
Thanks to our guests. For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Another shout out to Bob Jensen. Yeah?
Sorry,
see you tonight for volleyball and soccer. Go Cougs!